One of my favorite things about showing up on the NFL on CBS every other Sunday during the season is I get to hang out with my man, JLC. He is an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He appears every single Sunday on the NFL Today on CBS. He is the host of Be More Opinionated podcast and the man who will forever have the title of being the first guest on the CBS Sports Network simulcast. Jason Lockenfora is my guest. Jason, it is great to have you back. How are you? Good morning.
I'm doing well, and it is the last of those things that you said, Jim, that matters the most.
My man.
That's one for the epitaph.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I'm not talking about the record label.
No. Jason, great to have you. I appreciate you saying that because that's the way I'm always going to introduce you. Jason, why don't we start with the Dallas Cowboys? Let me start first with Jason Garrett. What do you make of the way he handled, well, pretty much everything in yesterday's loss to the Texans?
I mean, I think we've kind of come to accept this is who the Cowboys basically are and have been under Jason Garrett, and they're not incredibly inspiring. They kind of leave you scratching your head quite a bit, especially the combination of Garrett and Scott Linehan with that offense the last couple of years. I guess the thing is, does it matter, Jim? Like, if it doesn't matter in the end to Jerry Jones, and Jerry Jones likes running this team kind of through Jason Garrett, and he's a head coach who's the path of least resistance to sort of getting whatever I want to get out there and sort of the my conduit to directly to the team. I think at this stage of his life and his career, that's what Jerry Jones wants. I mean, yeah, it's about winning, but go look at their actual payroll the last 3 years, dollars spent on players. It's in the bottom five of the NFL. He obviously has a team that's worth whatever. What did Forbes say? I don't know, $4 or $5 billion. And he's got that Taj Mahal there, you know, in Arlington, the stadium. But are they really going all out to win? And for Jerry Jones right now, is it more about having Jason Garrett around than it would be going through a headstrong coach like he's had in the past with a Jim, with a Bill Parcells and wanting those checks and balances in that conflict? I don't know, Jim. I think he kind of likes rolling with Jason Garrett.
No, I think you're right. I think that he's in it to win it, I guess, but I think that he's in it to make a lot of money. He's in it to have all of us look at him and talk about him. But Garrett, I mean, Jason Garrett's the coach. You know he wants to win. So let me ask you this. If the thinking had been that Dallas has got this monster offensive line and they've got Ezekiel Elliott, one of the best running backs in the league, what in the world is Garrett doing punting on 4th and 1 from the opposing 42 in overtime?
I don't have a clue. I didn't get it then. I won't get it now. The one thing you'd think they could do offensively is impose their will. Now, they've had, obviously, some health issues and some injuries to that offensive line. It's not nearly as airtight as it was a couple of years ago. So saying all that, though, Ezekiel Elliott missed a lot of time last year because of a suspension. He's still a young running back. There's plenty of tread on those tires, and I would be taking multiple cracks with him in that situation. I don't understand it. I mean, most of the time when you play to tie in this league, I think it comes back to bite you. Bill O'Brien, you know, 8 days ago being the example to the contrary, he got away with it. But I don't think it sends the right message to your players, especially at this point in the season. And with Dallas having a chance to get above 500 and make a push at a time when the Eagles are kind of in a malaise. I don't know that we know exactly what the Redskins are. And the Giants have a new drama every week. So I think it's opportunity lost. But again, is it really out of character for these Cowboys and Jason Garrett's Cowboys? Not to me.
Jason Lockenfora joining us. And if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you are seeing him on the TV side as well. Jason, you had this great detail about Baker Mayfield. During the Raiders games, the Cleveland receivers had a number of drops. Offensive coordinator Todd Haley was about to light them up, but Baker stepped in. What did he say to Haley? And then what did Haley make of that?
Yeah, it was pretty neat. You know, I caught up with Todd over the week, and I'm like, hey, take me behind the veil a little bit about this kid, because we see a lot of what he can do, and we know there's a lot of moxie and leadership there. And he's like, you know, look, I saw it originally at his pro day, and that's a whole nother story for another time. But, you know, they had 3 drops early in that game. They had a tip ball that led directly to a pick 6 that was not Mayfield's fault. And Todd felt like, I got to stand up for my quarterback here and get these veterans, whip them into shape. And if you know anything about Todd, he doesn't back down from many fights. And Baker kind of saw all this coming, and he just said, Coach, I got it, man. Let me do this. Relax. Give me this. And Haley said he did it in a very disarming way. Todd gladly stepped back. Baker laid into him a little bit, then he coached him up. And they went out and field goal, touchdown, touchdown, and really took over that game. And then Cleveland's defense ended up wilting late, and they lost it. But that's just a little glimpse into what this kid and what was his first NFL start was willing to do and how he commands veterans and how that coaching staff is already willing to delegate to him at certain points because they wanted to be his team. And Todd said, it's the greatest thing ever. When you got a guy that young who can already start to coach him up, he's like, I don't want to coach him. I want them, you know, to take what I'm giving them and then make it their own. So it was a big moment for them. They obviously lost that game, but we saw plenty of Baker Mayfield under duress, keeping that team in the game, and then ultimately that drive that led to the game-winning field goal in overtime against the Ravens Sunday.
Jason Lockenfora joining us. All right, so keep it in the division for a minute. Jason, the Steelers have been very un-Steeler-like this year, but they put a beat down on the Falcons 41-17. So my question is, does that game say more about the Steelers, or does it say more about the Falcons?
Whew. I think it's probably revealing of both of sort of their inner core right now. Pittsburgh, every time we want to put a fork in them, they show up, right? I mean, they had their early travails, then they make a statement, then they roll over against the Ravens, now they make another statement. You know, I think in the end that offense will be enough to overcome that defense more often than not. And let's face it, the AFC is, I think, a little easier path than the NFC. So, I think the Steelers are going to round into form at some point and still be fairly formidable. And Atlanta, I think, is lost and sort of adrift, and that's a team in crisis. They had this stretch, right, 7 games and then the bye. 5 of those 7 are at home. The best case is they're 3-4 at the bye, and that requires them to beat the Giants and the Bucks. They've given up 121 points in 3 weeks. I got news for you. The Bucks are going to score some points on them, and so will the Giants. The offensive line's a concern now. Matt Ryan's under pressure. He doesn't fare that well under pressure. Julio Jones doesn't touch the ball until garbage time. And, I mean, I talked to people on the Steelers staff. I'm like, if you guys really felt like you needed to hang 55 on them yesterday, could you? And they're like, absolutely. We called off the dogs in the fourth quarter because, you know, we had the game in hand. So I think Atlanta's in big-time trouble, Jim, and I wonder if one of their coordinators gets told during the bye, we don't need you anymore, and I wonder if owner Arthur Blank, who thought maybe he would be hosting a Super Bowl with his team in it this year, doesn't put some people on notice in the second half of the season. He's not paying his quarterback $30 million. He doesn't have all these first-round picks on defense to be getting whacked like this.
Well, I was about to say, Jason, CBS has got the Super Bowl, but we don't need to worry about the Falcons hosting that game because that's not happening. They've lost 3 straight. They're 1-4. Before you go, let me ask about the Packers and Aaron Rodgers and his relationship with Mike McCarthy. Aaron Rodgers had been pretty critical of the Green Bay offense in the week four win, and then Detroit got them yesterday. I understand they're banged up, and especially at the wide receiver position, but how would you describe the relationship right now between Rodgers and head coach Mike McCarthy?
I would say a little bit testy, certainly under the microscope. And there's frustration all around that offense on various levels. There's frustration about the personnel. There's frustration about the scheme. There's frustration about the execution. There's frustration about injuries. But I think schematically now, if you're Aaron Rodgers and you're looking around the league on a weekly basis, and he's a gym rat and he's a football rat, and you see what a guy like Trubisky is being given by Nagy and the opportunities to succeed, and you see Andy Reid with Mahomes, and you know, you continue to see every week some of this creativity and these wrinkles, and then Green Bay, it's just really not there. It's not a lot of pre-stop snap motion. It's not a ton of misdirection. It's a lot of isolation routes and go beat your guy, and that's great when you've got Jordy Nelson in his prime and Randall Cobb previous, you know, to injuries, and maybe when you have a featured back, a real running back. They don't have any of that going on right now. And, you know, McCarthy's only signed through 2019. It's going to be very interesting. Do they really give him a long-term extension? If they don't, does he come back as a lame duck for 2019? Aaron Rodgers at $36 million a year and new money, you're going to want to really exact everything you can out of him while he's still in his prime. I don't know how long this marriage will last, Jim. I mean, it's been a good one to this point and everything. You know, it's like 10 years is no small potatoes, but those two together again next year, I wouldn't bet on it.
And Jason, since you built that TV studio in your home, I want to hit you with one more question. I want to take advantage of this opportunity,
studio,
man.
Huh?
It looks awesome. It looks awesome on CBS Sports Network. Listen,
you don't want to pan that camera out, brother. Trust me. You don't want to pan it out.
No, dude.
I would not call it a studio.
Dude, you're being very humble about this. It looks awesome. Listen, I was in the studio with you on the NFL on CBS yesterday. We talked about the state of New York football. Let me ask you this. The Giants let another one get away yesterday. If you're looking at the situation right now with the New York football teams, who would you rather have, Saquon Barkley or Sam Darnold?
Give me the quarterback. You're not winning with a running back in this league, right? I mean, look at the Dallas Cowboys. We just chronicled it. I mean, unless you want to run Zeke Elliott 50 times a game and see how that works, you're in trouble. And even if Barkley is Elliott, where does that get you if you're behind the eight ball at the quarterback position? I'm sure we talked about it in the offseason. It was sort of my mantra. I wrote about it a lot. To me, the Denver Broncos and New York Giants were the teams in each conference who were fooling themselves. You can pretend that a Case Keenum or an Eli Manning with a bunch of Band-Aids and you know, Post-it notes and paper clips are going to hold it together to make you a contender. Or you could look at this generational quarterback draft and do the right thing for the next 10 to 15 years for your franchises. Neither did it. I think both will pay the price short and long term. They've got a quarterback problem. Yeah, they got an offensive line problem too and yada, yada, yada. But the quarterback is not getting any better. He hasn't been, in my estimation, even an average quarterback for the last couple of years. And the guys on that team know it. And if you're Odell Beckham and you're like Aaron Rodgers watching these other games and you're thinking, man, where's my Mahomes? Where's my Deshaun Watson? Where's my maybe Trubisky? You know, where's my Allen? Where's my Baker Mayfield? Well, he's not on that roster.
He is the best insider in the game, an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He appears every Sunday on the NFL Today on CBS. And do not forget, also the host of Be More Opinionated podcast. GLC, I know you had a long weekend. So good to have you on the show. You look great and really nice to have you back.